As I sat with Matthew 11, 16 through 19 this week, and as I listened particularly to Black leaders, the verse hit me in a different way than it has before, and I want to share the translation that came to me. But to what will I compare this white American culture? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We wailed for you, and you didn't mourn." For Colin Kaepernick came peacefully kneeling, and they say, "He's a thug. You can't protest like that." And Black Lives Matter came blocking the highways, begging for their suffering over the violent loss of lives and unanswered pleading for equality and equity to be heard in the prick of car traffic being halted. And they say they are thugs. They say, "You can't protest like that." For Minneapolis came rioting, and they say they are thugs. They say, "You can't protest like that." For CHOP came planting vegetables, and they turned off the water. For George Floyd came, and so many others like him came begging for breath, crying for his mother, as I cried for breath and my father, and they pressed their knee into his neck, just as they pressed my hands and feet into the cross. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. And Jesus continued a few verses later by saying, "Come to me, all you that are carrying heavy burdens, all that you that are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." You all, as I have been reading James Cone's The Cross and the Lynching Tree, and as a plug, we're going to be having a book study starting this Wednesday at 10 a.m. You can see the description of this video for information on how to get to our Zoom meeting. And you can listen to the book on Audible for one credit. And even the introduction is very powerful. That only takes about 15 minutes to listen to. If you listen to the whole thing, it's about 6 hours. I highly recommend it, The Cross and the Lynching Tree by James Cone. As I have been reading this book, it has become clear to me in a new way that members of a dominant and domineering culture can't just sit down and read the scriptures. When Jesus says, "You have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants," in that cultural context, that's not exactly what he's saying. In that cultural context, to become a learned person, there were several gauntlets you had to pass through, and the first of them was based on your gender, and many of the remaining ones were based on class and family of origin. You have hidden these things from the privileged and revealed them to infants, he says. And even that's not an exact translation, really. Children at the time were viewed as not really human. And in that time and place, in Roman culture, until a child was one, so during the time when a child is actually technically an infant, you could essentially throw them out with the trash to die, and it wasn't considered a crime. Much as lynching wasn't considered a crime in this country for so long, and arguably even now in some ways, it's still not considered a crime. But at multiple points, Jesus welcomes and humanizes those children who were not considered human. So maybe a better translation is this: you have hidden those things from the privileged and revealed them to the most vulnerable and most dehumanized among us. I have much privilege and much education, and most of my education relates to being able to explain the Bible. But listening to James Cone, I realize that God has hidden the meaning of the cross from me and revealed it to siblings living in terror of the dominant culture. People like Jesus, killed by oppression, hanging on a tree. People like Jesus' friends and family who lived in constant terror of being killed or watching a loved one be killed by oppression, hanging on a tree. So I can't just sit down with the Bible like it's an old friend unless I am willing for this book to have some very hard conversations with me about myself and my location in our world. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Note that he doesn't say, "Come to me, all you all." He says, "Come to me, you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens." Now, we do know that Jesus invites and welcomes all meaning the poor, but also the rich, all meaning those on the margins, but also those who have privilege, all meaning those who have been terrorized by a dominant and domineering society, but also even me, even those who live on the fruit of a dominant and domineering society enforced by systemic oppression. All. Jesus welcomes all. Jesus invites and welcomes all. All. You. You. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your relationship to privilege. It doesn't matter who your ancestors are or what atrocities they may have committed or been the victims of. It doesn't matter how much or how little privilege you have. Jesus calls you and welcomes you. Calls all and welcomes all. Jesus loves all with an all-consuming love, and that all includes you. Jesus loves you with all that Jesus is. But that said, Jesus calls and welcomes us differently, welcomes different people in different ways. When a rich and powerful man, a man of privilege and plenty, met Jesus, he welcomed him by inviting him to dismantle his wealth and power and share them with others in order to build a society of mutuality and equity, in order to build an interdependent society. And we're told this made him sad. In today's passage, Jesus is speaking to marginalized and suffering folks. And people like me, people who largely fit within some dominant and dominating culture, people like me are listening in as he has an intimate moment with our siblings. We are decentered as he has an intimate moment with our siblings. So, let's look on and listen for what he's saying to our sacred siblings. Or for those of you who are harmed by the dominant and domineering culture, wow, this is Jesus speaking directly and intimately to you. Listen. For me, I'm listening in to the conversation that doesn't center me. It centers those of you who are weary and have heavy burdens. He says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wow, what tender words for Jesus' beloved who suffer from oppression and broken economics, broken systems. And as I listen, I remember that call that Jesus gave to the man who had privilege and wealth, privilege and plenty, the man who was more like me, and what I'm left with is a different invitation. My invitation is to examine myself and identify the ways in which I participate in and benefit from a heavy burden placed upon my siblings, placed upon Jesus' beloved. My invitation is to listen for how I can participate in making a world of rest for weary souls. As I said, Jesus loves all of us, all, and Jesus calls and welcomes all, and that means all, and in that love, Jesus is this day calling those who benefit from white supremacy to dismantle it, to dismantle the yoke, to listen, to amplify, to follow the lead of Black and Indigenous and other leaders of color and other ethnicities, and the voices crying from the margins to support them and stand in solidarity to build a world where there will be rest for their weary souls. I was reading a book to live the other day. It was about Amelia Earhart, how she was told she couldn't fly, but she wouldn't take her exclusion and marginalization as the final answer. She fought for her right to fly, and she started flying clubs for other women. And there's a page in this book full of the faces of the women she made room for in the skies. And I stopped there with my daughter and asked her a question. Amelia had to work very hard to be who Creator made her to be. So she decided to make room for others. But do you notice something about this picture? What do we notice about these women? My daughter is mostly nonverbal, so at this point I have to carry the conversation, but there's lots of nods and involvement from her. I said, it looks to me like they all have pale skin, like you and me. In this book, we learned that because of a broken system and broken hearts, men have had an easier time than women. And you know what else? People with pale skin, we have an easier time than people who have other tones of skin, for the same kinds of reasons. Broken hearts, broken systems, some systems that are designed, actually, to take advantage of people who don't have pale skin like us. So Amelia made room at the table for others once she found room for herself. But when she made room for others, she didn't ask who is still not at this table. Why are they still not at this table? I told my kiddo, every time we sit down to any table, we need to ask who isn't here and why aren't they here? How can I make room for them to be here if they want to be here? Welcome table, many of you are those for whom there has not been room at the table. And last week we listened to Deborah Peavy's sermon that began a revolutionary journey to the table. And now we are here, and now we call ourselves Welcome Table, and we ask, what is next? What welcoming work is next? What dismantling of power and privilege is next? What liberating love and justice is next? And in 2020, with the global Black Lives Matter uprising, Spirit is telling us that the work of anti-racism is next. It is calling to us. Jesus told the man that some folks call the rich young ruler, and I've been calling the person of privilege and plenty, to dismantle his privilege and plenty in order that all might sit at the welcome table together. And Jesus told the weary ones, come to me and rest. Sit yourself down at the welcome table. You who are weary, Jesus invites you to rest. And you who, like me, have privilege and plenty, Jesus still invites us to rest, still invites us to that table. But before we sit down at the table, we need to look around at who is not resting, who does not have plenty, who has not found an open and comfortable chair at the table, whose voice is not being heard, who is not safe at the table, who is not here, and why. And Jesus' invitation for us is to first dismantle our privilege, to give up our plenty, so that there is room and nourishment and safe haven and fulfillment and rest for all at God's welcoming table. Loving parents, I am grateful that you have hidden these things from the privileged and revealed them to the most vulnerable and dehumanized among us. I am grateful that you have called me away from privilege and plenty and into the work of dismantling those things so that I can listen to your holy wisdom from our siblings who you have revealed the fullness of your liberating love and justice to. Amen.